Father, we come before you and we ask that you would give us incredible wisdom to live our lives in these days that we exist. We know that there are times and people that call good evil and evil good. We would ask, Lord, that you would help us to be discerning in these times which can be so deceiving. We pray also that as we continue in the book of Genesis, you would show us wisdom that we never had gleaned before, that it would be ours, and we would have faith that you, in fact, are there, and that you have created everything that we see. Father, we give you glory for this, because your truth has been revealed to us, and you didn't have to. And we thank you that you've looked upon us with your loving kindness and informed us where we came from and where we're going. Continue this education today, we pray, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the book of Genesis, we started it last week. We had an introduction that we really didn't finish. And it is the book of origins. And origins of the universe, solar system, man, marriage, evil, language, government, cultures, nations. We talked about that. We talked about how the book of Genesis is not a myth. It is not something that is just a story that has been put together, an epic. We have differing stories in there. Adam and Eve, Abraham, Joseph, and his brothers, the patriarchs. It answers several questions, how we got the earth and the universe. We will have questions about the gap theories, where animals came from. What about Noah? Was a flood local or was it global? And then there was time. We talked about time and how time is a property of this universe, that we dwell in time, and time can actually be affected as a physical property of this universe by gravity. Gravity is a unique thing that we don't even understand yet, but that's when God started time. The clock started ticking at creation, because it says in the beginning of what? The beginning of our known time. And then we saw that there is in fact a God, that God exists, because it says in the beginning God. And that word for God, remember, is plural. It's in the first person plural, where you'd use the us or the we, and God is saying, let us create man in our image, as we'll see later on in the book of Genesis after the creation of man. And so with that there, we know that there is a Trinity there, and several commentators point to that, saying that there is a Trinitarian doctrine that can be gleaned from this Hebrew word Elohim. Eli would be the singular form of the name for God, and we know that there are people in the Bible called Eli, and maybe somebody that you might even know. Now, people go out and say there is no God, and I told you about atheism, how it's the most untenable position to hold, that there is no God, because Einstein had a class, and in this class, it was a graduate class, and he challenged the students. He said, out of all the knowledge that we have gleaned to date that exists out there, how much do you think that we have? And the entire class, they murmured back and forth with each other, and they came up with a conclusion, a percentage of how much knowledge they think they have of all the knowable knowledge that is out there in the universe. What percentage do you think they came up with? 5. They came up with 5%. Now, I think that's a little prideful to think you know 5% of the knowledge that is out there. But then Einstein said to his class, he said, do you think in that 95% of what you don't know, God exists? What's the probability of that? It's huge. You know, in the universe, the astronomers and the physicists say, you know, there's so much stuff out there that we don't know. 99% of what we don't know is still out there. And that means we only know 1%, they say. There is so much going on out there, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is kind of fun. If you look up at the moon, okay, and you have the moon right there in that one spot in the sky, and when the moon's full, I want you to do this. I want you to go out and look at that, and I think the number is much higher than what they report it to be. But they say, if you looked at a spot in the night sky the size of the moon, behind that are 1 million galaxies. Now, can you get your mind around that? That one spot, there's 1 million galaxies behind that. How many spots of the moon would be in the sky? there are so many galaxies. We're not even talking stars. We're talking galaxies. And are there more stars than planets or more planets than stars? Probably more planets than stars. So how many planets are there? It is so numerous. There is, you can't even describe the knowledge that it takes to even figure out or understand how many there are. So I got ahead of myself. Let's go on. So atheism is the most untenable position. This idea that pantheism, that all reality is in God and beyond him is only illusion, that's not true too. We talked about that in polytheism, that there's more than one God, there's not. And materialism, that the only thing that exists in our universe is the material world, and that's it. There is no God, there is no spiritual nature to this existence. That's not true. There is not this idea of evil and good being equally balanced, yin and yang. That is not true, because God shows up here. And so we understand who God is by even this first verse and how he describes himself. Now, then we go on to creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, in this phrase, the word created, it is bara, it means to call into existence something from nothing. And I talked about this a little bit, that there's nothing, right? Now, as a side note to this, if you got in a spaceship and you flew from the earth to the sun, they call that a vacuum of space that's up there. And in that space, we fly through there, and maybe you pick up a little meteorite, pebble size, or maybe you get a bigger one, it could hit your spaceship, that type of thing. And on the shuttles, they talk about little meteorites that hit the glass. You know, that glass is really thick, but it's impenetrable, at least on the smaller scale side. But they could be killed at any time with a meteor up there. And so, for the most part, they say there's nothing. Well, that's not exactly true. And I'm getting ahead of myself here again, but this idea in the universe, there is so much energy in the universe that if you went from the Earth here to the sun, we think it's empty. The physicists now, the theoretical physicists, say, no, it's like packed with the sea of energy just in that space that's right there. I'm going to give you some insight of your own body, what you could power with your own body or just a cup of water. This stuff is so incredible. But God created all this energy that exists out there out of nothing. Now, when we create something, we create it out of something, right? We get some wood, we get some drywall, we get some plaster, we get some steel, we put it all together and we make it. Well, God didn't do that. God just spoke it into existence. And now, this idea, this is interesting. A Nobel laureate, Richard Feynman, one of Einstein's prodigies, he did this experiment. And there is more than enough energy in the volume of a coffee cup to evaporate all the world's oceans. In a coffee cup, you put water in there. You could take the energy from that cup of water and you could use it, the heat that would be given off from breaking it down, to evaporate all the oceans of the world in a cup of coffee. That's how much energy is packed into everything that we see around us. It's nuclear physics, you know, this idea of getting down into the quantum mechanics of things. For instance, an adult, the power that you have inside of yourself, I'm looking here deciding whether or not to give you the actual mathematics of this. I have it, 6.3 times 10 to the 18th joules is what you contain in your body. Now, I know that that's probably meaningless, but if you take E equals MC squared that was given to us by Einstein, you go, wait, well, hold on, you're giving me too much. I'm just going to tell you that there is enough energy in your body to power the United States for 16 years. That's how much power is in your body if you broke down the atoms that were in there. Now, God created that, right? How much power is in the material in the universe? I'm not talking about the space between the material. How much power is in there? And how big does God have to be to create that out of nothing?
I stop. I get this cul-de-sac. I cannot go any farther. We are in a unique position in our universe, and we've shown some videos on this, in our galaxy, that we are hanging just below one of the belts that has dust clouds going around in our galaxy, and we are in a unique position that we can see out through the universe. If we were in the dust cloud, we couldn't do it. But we are discovering all this with our little tiny telescopes through the universe and what exists out there and how big it actually is. It is just huge. And the Bible says that God, He flung out the stars with His fingers. Now, how many stars are there? Remember, there's a million behind the moon, a million galaxies behind the moon. How many stars are in each galaxy? How many stars are in the universe? There's more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the earth. And I will tell you that I believe there are more galaxies in our universe than there are grains of sand on our earth. That's huge. It is so big. It is incomprehensible. And our God created that. Not only did He create that, but He loves us so much that He goes, I'm going to live inside of you, and all that power is going to be inside of you. And you're not going to explode. It's going to be okay. That power that God has in you will enable you to do anything that He wants you to do according to His will. And we so often look at God like, God is going to condemn me or punish me or do something bad to me if I don't do what's right. And God says, no, I'm the power that's in the universe, and I'm going to live inside of you, and you can do just about anything you want to do according to my will. As a matter of fact, you can't do anything according to His will that He wants you to do. And so this is what we know when we start breaking down just the first verse of Genesis. In the beginning was God, and God created the heavens and the earth. Now this idea of the heavens, Psalm 8:3 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? And how small are we compared to the rest of the universe? We are really just insignificant. Now, how big is it? Even to describe our galaxy, we can't even get really to the closest galaxy to us in our lifetime with the current technology we have. And God set these things, and they just hang up there. Have you ever considered what holds the earth in place? You know, we think we are so wise, right? You watch these science programs, we have the answers to everything, really. You know that the physicists, they say that there is an excess of gravity in our universe, and they don't know where it comes from. But they come up with an explanation for it. They devise this wild theory. This wild theory is, well, it must be because of dark matter. Have you heard about dark matter? But dark matter is invisible. You can't see it. But it's out there. It has to be because the calculations that we come up with in our math, our higher math, so it has to be there. And we are theorizing the whole time about this universe that God has created. What happened? And they go to such great extent. You know, Hubble. Remember this guy, Hubble? You know what he's famous for? It's the red shift. The red shift is where you look out at the stars, and the stars, he noticed that they're all in the red shift portion of the color spectrum when you look at them. And that means that they're all heading away from us. If they were heading towards us, they'd be blue. But it's the red shift. Everything's heading away. So he said the universe is expanding because of that. We're just going out, which means if you bring it back in, what did you get? A clump of material that must have exploded. And we got the Big Bang from Hubble. That's where we got it. Now, is that true? Is that not true? They came up with this theory. They observed this, and they said, this is the way it has to be, and there has to be dark matter out there. Now, please follow me on this. I don't want to lose you. There's this guy named Occam. Have you ever heard of the phrase Occam's razor? Occam's razor, and I'm just going to break it down as simple as possible because that's what Occam's razor does. He was a logician, which means he was into logic. And he said, when you look at something and you have a problem, just break it down to its simplest form. And if you break it down to its simplest form, that's the explanation for what has taken place or what the truth is. We have come up with so many theories to explain the existence of the universe, it violates Occam's razor. This idea that we look at the universe and how it got there, God put it there, is the simplest explanation. Instead of saying, well, there's dark matter, and then there are these different universes, and they must have clashed together, and then there's this string theory, and that must be how we got here. And I mean, they come up, there are hundreds of theories of how we got here. And the simplest one is, God did it.
That's the easiest one to explain. And in their thinking, they become wise, but actually they become fools. The Bible talks about that. And so God set all this in order. And we know the number of stars. We don't know the number of stars. There's so many. We don't know the number of galaxies. There's so many. God put these things in place. And like our planets, which are out there, and how they just hang around the sun. And our sun. You know how fast the galaxies are moving through the universe? 2 million miles per hour. I don't know about you, but that's fast. I think about that. We are jet. Now, if we are going around the, we are rotating at 1,000 miles an hour. I think it's about 1,000 miles an hour. And you put us around the orbit of the sun. You add, and I don't know how fast that is, but then you put the sun around its orbit in the galaxy. And then you put the galaxy going 2 million miles an hour. We are moving in this galaxy, and we don't even feel it. And God set all of this stuff up, and we look at our little planets and how long it takes for us to get to those little planets. Do you guys know the number of planets and which one comes first? Well, the sun. You have the sun, you have Mercury, you have Venus. What's the next one? What happened to Earth? We have Earth, we have Mars. We have the asteroid belt, we have Jupiter, we have Saturn, we have Uranus, we have Neptune, and unfortunately Pluto's no longer a planet. So, but Pluto's out there, and you see all these things, they're just hanging around, they're spinning around, and there's this order to what's going on there, and you just marvel at this stuff. Could you build something like that? It's like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, they did that in that movie. They built all the planets and stuff. There's no way we could do that, but we come up with these fanciful explanations. You know how the universe actually got here? Not according to the Bible, but according to human wisdom. We had this big bang. All the material went out. Where the stuff came from, we have no idea. Who caused the explosion, we have no idea how that happened. But this stuff just blew up. It went out there. And then, miraculously, all by itself, these molecules started sticking together. And then you got a lot of helium and hydrogen, and those stuck together, and oxygen and all those things, and that was came out of the Big Bang. And then what happened is they coalesced and they got so concentrated in one particular area that it decided to just blow up on the inside. But because it blew up on the inside and the gravity was so great, it just formed a sun, and that's all it did. And that sun started burning, and it was huge, and these suns, billions of suns went out there. And then these suns, they use up all their fuel, and what happens when they use up all their fuel? They explode. And once they explode, they create all these heavy elements like iron and gold and silver and all these dirt materials and quartz and all that. That's what happens when a star explodes. Well, this had to happen several different times, and once that takes place, then not only does the gas get together and just kind of coagulate, and then you ignite and make a star, but then the dirt and the heavy metals and all that stuff gets together, and it coagulates, and it makes a planet, and it just starts spinning in a circle, and all of a sudden you have order out of disorder. That's how we got here. And then on top of that, lightning started to form in the clouds because there was atmosphere that the comets brought to the particular planets when all this stuff was gathering together, because they created some gravity that was going on there, and that's how we got the oceans in our Earth, is because the comets that would hit there would have things like water and ice water and stuff like that. And then the lightning would hit the primordial pools of slime, and then miraculously the 16 amino acids would come together, and you would have a single cell organism right there that would replicate, and then they started crawling out of the ponds, and we have us. That's how we got there. Now, with that explanation, that's the quick version. Do you believe that? I look at that, I marvel at these science shows. I listen to them, and I watch them, and I go, you're kidding me, right? Oh, we got the math that proves it. Really? We got the math that proves it. It's amazing to me. God set this up. The simplest explanation is he just flung the stars out there. And they set in place. Now, some people say, oh, come on, you expect me to believe that? I say the same thing. If I went back to college today, I would be a terror in a biology class or an astronomy class. I would bring up all these questions, and just because what the Bible says, not that I'm anybody smart or anything, it's just what the Bible says is going on there. So God created all of this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, it says in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12, but God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding and calls them each by name. You want to try to name the stars? He knows them all. He knows the name of every galaxy which is out there, every single star, every single planet. He has it all down. He has named them all. He's intimately involved with his creation. Isaiah 48 verse 12 says, "Listen to me, O Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he, I am the first and the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand together." One thing about the earth, a couple things about the earth. The earth is so unique. Inside the earth, we have this nickel and iron mix inside the earth, and it's almost like a plasma. It's superheated. It's very hot, and we'll see some of that come to the surface, like in the form of lava. You know, we have the rock, that type of thing. But this core that's in there, it is rotating inside of the earth, and because it is, and it's a metal, it creates an electrical charge. And then an electrical charge, it surrounds the earth. And that is called the magnetosphere, which is out there, and it protects us from the sun. So God gave us a blanket of protection because of this iron core. When you go to Mars, they don't have the atmosphere because they believe their iron nickel core probably died out. They don't know what's in there. But if you looked at a cross-section of our earth, they have discovered that there are these huge plumes of this lava material, this molten magma, which comes up at different points in the earth. One of them is in Hawaii. This big plume comes up from the center of the earth and is just under the surface, and you get the Hawaiian Islands. And all around the Pacific Rim, you have different ones coming up. And God set this in order. He designed the earth in such a way to be a power-generating station for these Van Allen belts, which protect us from the cosmic rays which are out there. You know, all this is set up and how the systems on the earth work. We look at that. The book of Romans says the wrath of God is coming because we refuse to retain the knowledge of God, and what may be known about God has been made plain to us through what has been made. You look at this stuff out there and you can see the order in the earth. You can see how the rain gets evaporated from the oceans, goes over the mountains, drops, and rivers go back to the oceans again. And the oceans are never filled up. You know, this idea that this system exists and we love order as a people. Where did we get all that from? It just didn't arise. That violates the law of entropy and the second law of thermodynamics, which means nothing comes out of disorder. You cannot get order out of disorder. And that's what the world would have you believe, that if you took a pile of dirt, put it in a box, and shook it up real hard, you would get some type of order, like a watch or a pair of glasses that would come out of that box. And that's exactly what they're saying with the universe and the planets and the galaxies and how they all work. It is just fanciful, made-up wisdom, and we know that God is not like that. So, going on with this, there are so many false things that are out there, like the date of the, or the time of the universe when it was created. You know, they say it's about 15 billion years old. You know what they, you probably haven't heard this. It's incredible to me. Recent observations suggest that the universe is younger than its oldest stars. What? Recent studies suggest that the universe, the whole universe, is younger than the oldest stars in the universe. Now, how do you reconcile that? Astronomers, it said in this article, the astronomers are scrambling to try to figure this one out. They can't. Every time God sets up one of his bits of wisdom, we look at it and we just marvel and we think we got it figured out. And wait, that's not quite it. And the scientists are going from theory to theory to theory. Now, God set this all up when he created everything. We're right at the top of the hour. I'm just going to read this to you to show you what we're going to get into next time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now we're going to break that down next time. In closing here, everything that I just described to you, whether it's time, it's God, it's heavens, it's the universe, it's the galaxies, it's the planets, it's the stars, how we got here, the Big Bang, all of that, the world has its own idea of how we got here. The simpler explanation is that God made it. If God made it, and the Bible, what it says is true, we are made by God. We belong to God. God has something for us if He created us. For us who are here, we know what that is as believers. It's for salvation and going on to the next universe, because all that exists here is going to be rolled up like a scroll. It is going to be destroyed. Nothing will survive. This life will not inherit eternity. We have to have a new one. My encouragement to you is to consider that this week, that God exists. He has a plan for your life. He so loved you that He made us aware of what that plan is. He put us in a spot in the universe where we could discover His goodness and His glory. If we just take all that and say, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I don't care how it got here. We are going to fall into dire straits. We're going to be in trouble once we die, because then judgment comes. God says you can avoid all that judgment. If you simply believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get to pass from death to life. When we die in this earth, He resurrects us, and He will give us a new heaven and a new earth. That shows us how much God actually loves us. He's told us the whole story from the beginning, in the beginning, all the way to the end in the book of Revelation. Be encouraged by that. You are not alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You for Your word, how it guides and directs us. We ask that You would help us to assimilate it, that it would be ours, that we would be walking in understanding, that we'd be walking in Your will. We thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us, and we ask that You would continue to do so as we study Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.